This is Houston Matters. I'm Craig Cohen. On any given weekend, thousands of Houstonians flock to the Bayou Greenways, more than 100 miles of trails with thousands of acres of green space for cyclists, walkers, joggers, birders, and nature lovers. It's an ongoing public-private partnership that hopes to one day have 1.5 million Houstonians live within 1.5 miles of a Bayou trail. The efforts led by the Houston Parks Board also incorporate plans to rejuvenate the original prairie ecosystem that once covered most of the Texas coast with native plants. Eddie Garcia was born on the bayou in Houston. His heritage comes from one of the original native nations of this region. Garcia is an intersectional storyteller and nature guide and leads nature walks along Houston's bayous. Houston Matters producer Mincho Jacob met up with Garcia recently for one such walk. They started by descending steps to the bayou trails in the shadows of skyscrapers.
Right here, let me show you this part right here. This is kind of like part of a tributary that would go into the bayous from the rainwater. Now it's like a drainage system that drains in. You can see a big willow tree here. I'm almost certain this is one of the China trees that are invasive. China berry, I think, yeah. But if you see how the trees are kind of making an arch over the bayou, that's the way a lot of the bayou was. Used to be.
Oh.
There used to be huge trees on either side. So it used to be clear, right? And then it's limestone originally underneath. Now it's a lot of silt, right? But under that silt there's a lot of limestone and it was clear. And what they said, it was like holes in the limestone at the bottom, not the bed of the bayou. And some of those would be blue. And it was like, you know, a blue bayou. Yeah, they said it was just beautiful.
So the reason it's so brown today is
I believe all the silt coming from the reservoirs. I did find a beaver right over here, right by that tree. But beavers are so beneficial.
Beavers are just one native animal that have returned to these waterways. Otters, too, have been spotted in recent years swimming in the bayous. Beavers make little dams in these tributaries, which create ponds for all sorts of plants and animals to flourish. Otters, too, are a keystone species of a resilient bayou ecosystem.
But yeah, this will give you an idea of what it used to look like. That's why I love these little tributaries.
The sycamore is native to here, right?
Yeah, a lot of these trees, I think, have a wide range of cypress.
We walk down to an old boat dock nearby. There is still lots of boat activity on this part of the bayou downtown. We spotted a Parks and Rec Department boat transporting heavy equipment as well as folks out canoeing. The dock also allowed for closer access to the riverbank.
So you can see this dirt is not usually here. So this is when the water rises, it leaves all this silt here. When the Harvey came, oh my gosh, all along the trail, when you're going along those trails, there was like silt about this high. Wow. Like, I mean, huge, even taller than that, even higher than my hand.
And it's probably like 15 feet above the water right now, that trail?
Yeah. Yeah, well see, that's the thing, is that's why it floods. It's because they're altering everything. Like they took out the tall grass prairies, which were the natural absorbing it, and then on the bayous around this whole region, the trees were mostly around the bayous. They weren't out, I mean, that was all like plains area. So they've taken off the trees from the bayou, around the bayou, and they put them everywhere else. The landscape is completely altered. And so again, when you have enough, what they call the riparian area around the waterways, is the section right off the banks, right? And those used to, again, have grasses, they had trees, bush, and all that. They had roots, so all that would soak in the water around here. So there's really nowhere to soak in the water, so it just drains real fast. And then if you notice on a lot of the bayous, they're trying to prevent floods, but they actually make it flood more, especially the cementing and then all the taking all the vegetation off.
Yeah, because here we have trees, which is still limited, but
yeah,
a lot of bayous are just concrete, right?
Well, really, these trees should go up to the street up there, you know what I mean? And some areas, what I've heard is that like this was like a three-tiered, some sections of the bayou was three-tiered, you know, it was three levels of the banks. And so the second level was like a wetlands area. There was a lot of ponding, and water would stay there for a long time, like little ponds and stuff.
Garcia shares with us the teachings of the Carrizo Comecrudo tribal chairman, Juan Mancias. All water is connected, and that means that runoff from the streets, which brings trash and other pollutants down to the bayou, will eventually flow out to the ocean and beyond.
But same thing with the water. Like I said, everything's changing, and one water. We also have one air, you know. That's what people don't realize, is that how can we get, like, within a couple of days, we get dust from Africa over here, you know what I mean? So when you pollute one area, it's going to spread everywhere, you know, when you pollute the air. Same thing with the soil, same thing, you know, we have one land, one water, one air, you know?
Yeah.
And so Native people have known that for a long time, that all this is all alive, that everything. But also they're interconnected like communities. So they say you got to be very careful on what you cut down and things like that, because you're not only cutting down that living being, you're affecting all the ones that they're connected to. We always give something back, and we always ask permission to take something from the earth.
As we move away from the water, we take a path that has a steep bank going up to the roadway. The bank is covered in all sorts of plants.
There's elderberry right there.
Elderberry, yeah. Which one is elderberry?
I think that's elderberry. I think. I don't see the flowers, so I'm not sure, but that looks like elderberry.
The elderberry is a small native shrub that has pretty white flower clusters that bloom in the early summer and are very important for pollinators, as well as giving edible berries for birds, small mammals, and even humans.
And so a lot of these have all kinds of medicinal properties to them. I think some of this is goldenrod.
Goldenrod is another important native plant that flowers in the late summer, keeping pollinators fed with nectar and pollen. The seeds are important for birds like finches and cardinals.
Yeah, gamma grass is a good native.
Historically, the Houston area was dominated by the coastal tallgrass prairie. As Garcia said, trees were mostly found directly adjacent to waterways because of the poor soils. But native grasses like gamma, bluestem, and switchgrass provided the base of an ecosystem that sustained animals as big as the buffalo. Deep roots of these grasses help to stabilize soils from erosion. They can grow as deep as they grow upwards.
Some of them go up to 13 feet deep in their roots. Unlike trees actually grow more, I think most of the roots grow towards the sides.
This is golden something?
Goldenrod, I believe.
Okay, it looks like, what's that? It's a milkweed, what monarch butterflies like? It kind of looks like that.
Alex Oriani, one of the participants on the walk, asked about a tree that Garcia didn't recognize, but he was quick to offer tools that anyone can access through apps on their smartphones.
It looks like it might be right with the ways and
flowers. Google has something now, but also iNaturalist is one.
Yeah, I mean,
there's like two or three of them that have them.
So, commonly known as bag pod or bladder pod, is a plant in the legume family native to North America. The species is a feculative hydrophyte occurring in wetlands and non-wetland areas. It is one of the 60 identified species of genus Sespania.
You can see the bean pods and stuff on it.
I always like to see the seasonality. See, are we in season here? Yeah, September, that's the peak.
What family was it in, did it say?
Fabaceae?
Fabaceae.
Someone knows their Latin.
It's in the bean family.
Yeah, legume. I knew, yeah, I saw legume.
Yeah. Turns out I wasn't so right either. It's Fabaceae or Fabaceae. But for Garcia, the ecosystems of the bayou need to include both grasses and trees.
I believe there's a cottonwood tree. So again, here you see the height, how big the trees used to be. I believe it's cottonwood because it lets off a little cottony type of stuff. Yeah. But you see how huge this tree is? Imagine this used to be filled with big trees like this, you know? But again, see, why is this, this whole area could actually have, you know, tall grasses and a lot of more trees in this area right here? Because that also helps keep the banks from, you know, eroding and keeps the bayou's route more stable.
While we never fully escaped the sounds of the city, it was easy to forget that we were in an urban environment. As we walked back to where we started, the skyscrapers of downtown came back into view, Garcia gives us one last thought before we leave the bayou.
And so look at here, you're looking at all these beautiful trees, these grasses, the water, and then you look at the horizon over there and you see the most energy inefficient things that exist, right? They use up so much energy, they're so inefficient, and that's supposedly the epitome of societal accomplishments or whatever. Yeah.
Accomplishments or whatever.
Yeah.
For Houston Matters, I'm Incho Jacob.